You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Biggie on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. Our show is called Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And every week, each week, we're here with, in the studio, Ellen Little and myself, my co-host. Ellen's been with me for, gosh, Ellen, going on 8 years. And Ellen's all dressed up today with her beret on and everything, little hat. You look cute. Oh, same thing here. I put mine up because I didn't do it. Yes, Ellen is here. We have an action-packed studio. We meet every week and we talk about things in a very fun and unscripted, quite educational, and we give out valuable information on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. So, Ellen, before we go on to our guest, I want you to tell our listeners how to download our shows and how to listen to our podcast.
So it's very easy, actually. SitaMediaInc.com is our website. That's probably the easiest place to go because you'll be able to get all 8 years' worth of our shows, the 52 weeks.
And all the pictures.
And all the pictures as well, yes. And so all of those are MP3s. So if anybody's been a past guest, they're able to download that information and put it on their marketing information. And certainly we post everything on Facebook as well. It's automatic that goes there as well. But we send out all of the MP3s to our guests, and they have those as well.
And you're doing really well with putting all the sponsors on there.
Sponsors are on there.
You've got all the people.
You've been such a great host for that, because all the sponsors have a really good opportunity to share their information as well on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Right. And you had a good weekend. You've played music a couple of places.
All weekend. Actually, okay. It was a busy weekend. It's the holiday season, so everybody's looking for music and some exciting things. So I was an MC this weekend. I played music four times.
Yeah.
Four times this weekend. Yeah, it was fun.
I had my tree put up today.
Oh, you're so
while nice. I was at the gym, Robin put it up. She did a really fantastic job.
I need a
job.
Robin.
Yeah. She's so booked. She's
I need
wonderful.
A Robin.
She's
That's
so,
right.
But I know somebody else who's looking for some work, so I'll
okay,
let you know.
Good. Right.
So for our listeners who are tuning in studio we have today our good friend Jordan Kelly, who is the manager of the American Shaman of Brevard, is here.
Hi. Hello. Yeah. How are you?
He came in a little late, but he made it.
I made it.
And with him, as usual, is Honey Smith-Walls, and she is with the Verum?
Cannabis Verum.
That's right. They know all this stuff about CBD and all that, and we're going to be talking about that, plus the new store that he opened. We're also going to be talking about vape or not to vape and some of the signs and symptoms of what happened to some of those people that ended up in the ICU. We heard all about the deaths. It was all over the news. And I know Jordan and I had talked about that. So second segment, we're going to talk with both of them. Our first segment, though, I'm so proud of my friend who drove all the way from Orlando. Terry Falbo is here. Terry's here with Lynn
Unrube.
Yep. And they came in from Orlando. Terry grew up in a rural southwestern Pennsylvania town. Her background is in education. Her work history ranges from studying bioengineering to history. And she is very involved with talking about and advocating for Medicare for All. Lynn is here. She's a PhD and RN, and she's a professor of health services at the University of Central Florida. And she practiced as a staff nurse for 27 years. She received her PhD in economics in 2000. And she also is an advocate for Medicare for All. And I think we have someone, a nurse, Liz Kane, who's also going to be calling in. The bios are extensive, so we better not read all of it because we'll be here all 30 minutes just doing that. So we're going to start off by telling our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. I met Terry on Facebook after a fierce discussion about Medicare for All versus the public option. And as all my listeners know, when I went to Charlotte, North Carolina for the 2012 convention, the Democratic National Convention, I took a sign with me all the way through to that convention that says, I support the Affordable Care Act and I support Obamacare. I did. And then I changed after the elections. I did look into Medicare for All, and I also said, well, this is not a bad thing. But I've since changed my mind only because I don't know if our country is ready for Medicare for All, although I do believe healthcare is a right. It is not a privilege. So I think we're going to have a good discussion today about the healthcare Affordable Care Act versus, you know, I say fix it, not nix it. We didn't get the public option the first time. There are a lot of people that did speak with me and said they would like to buy into Medicare. But then again, it's going to become a system where some can have insurance and some won't. And I do want to hear what Terry has to say and Lynn. So we're going to start off with Terry. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and why you became an advocate for Medicare for All.
Go ahead, Terry.
Oh, yes. Okay, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Terry. I've got to think about this.
Yeah, no, I've always been...
It's from the heart, so it'll come out right.
Yeah, I've always felt that healthcare was a right, even when I had good employer insurance and when it did not affect me personally so much. However, in recent years, it has ended up very much affecting me personally. My mother needed total 24/7 care, and we ended up spending all of her savings as well as all of my savings for her care. So that is one thing. And now I have individual insurance that, and I have a subsidy through the Affordable Care Act, and my deductible is $6,000, and taxpayers are paying like $1,000 a month to the insurance company for a plan that I really basically can't even use. So I know that there needs to be a fix that personally. On the broader level, I'm very concerned that we're spending $3.65 trillion. That's how much we spent last year in as a country for healthcare in 2018, like more than twice as many as any other country, like 18% of our gross domestic product, and still 87 million Americans are either uninsured or underinsured, as I am. And that's why I said, hey, I have to be involved in this. And this is my main volunteer effort to do something about this.
Right. And we all can make a difference in our world, whether it's with helping children, the environment, the seniors. You know, whatever it is, we don't have to be elected into office to make a difference. So it's great that people have voices out there. And so Lynn Unruh is here with us, and she's a PhD. She was also an RN. So Lynn, the big question people are asking about Medicare for All, how do we pay for it? Of course, the same people don't ask how you pay for wars, but that's a different story. So
that's excellent. That would be my first point.
Yeah,
but the thing why are we asking this question?
Yeah, we're not. You know, when you say to them, "Well, you know, the Saudis are given a lot of money to buy weapons, and it end up in the wrong hands in the Middle East," they said, "Let's not talk about that." So let's stick to the plan today, which is Medicare for All, and how do we tell those people how are we going to pay for it? Because you're also an economist.
It's a good question for an economist. this is a question that I don't know why it's even being asked, because how are we paying for the current system? The current system is extremely expensive. Our healthcare system costs almost twice as much as the average costs in the other high-income countries in the world. Almost twice as much. So the real question is, why are we paying so much now? And when they've looked at how much a single-payer system would cost, actually, it would cost over a 10-year period, and a very right-wing think tank did these calculations, it would cost less than what we're paying now. And that's to ensure everybody, all residents in the U.S. So first off, the costs of a single-payer system are not outrageous compared to what we're paying now. And secondly, how would we pay for it? How do we pay for it now? Well, those of us that have employers pay, our employers pay some of the costs. We pay some of the costs. We pay a lot out of pocket. Those who don't have an employer have to pay out of pocket. So somehow we're paying for health care now. So if you had a single payer, it would just be the revenue would come from different sources. Instead of us contributing to insurance companies and employers contributing to insurance companies, the employers would pay directly to the government. People would pay a small amount in taxes, and
right.
that those taxes would be very progressive. Senator Warren has mm-hmm. proposed that there be a lot of the taxes go on the very high income people. So there's a way to pay for it. It's really not a big issue.
Well, I think what people it is an important issue. And it shouldn't be a Democratic issue or a Republican issue. It should be a human issue, right? But I don't think the Democrats or even people who are running for office explains it the right way. It's all about messaging. We are getting paid X amount of dollars per hour, or if you're a salaried employee, you get paid, right? And some of that goes towards a private insurance, and then you bring home the rest to pay your lights and water and telephone and pay taxes. And right? We all know that. I think what they ought to start telling people is, instead of giving your $800 a month or $600 a month or $200 a month, instead of giving it to AvMed or Humana or anywhere else, you're giving it to your country, to Medicare for All. And you're
Correct.
Insuring everyone.
Correct.
I think they need to shift the way they speak about it, because I know when my children were home, my husband and I were paying almost $1,700 a month for healthcare for almost 15 years we paid that. And then as the children went off to colleges, it dropped to like $1,400, $1,300, whatever, based on one child. But I think maybe they ought to say is, you're covering more people, but you're not giving it to a private insurance company. You're giving it to the federal
right.
government.
Right now, the private insurance companies are taking, Terry and I were just looking this up, they're taking about 30% of every healthcare dollar, and it is not going into healthcare. It is going into administrative costs and profits. And a single payer system would eliminate that right off the bat. And that's why it's so opposed. That's why we have the bad messaging out there. We have
right.
insurance companies that are highly opposed to it. We have some of the providers are opposed to it. But it's just taking those costs, and that's what would help cover everybody, is removing some of those costs that do not go into providing care.
So I know we have Liz on the phone. And Liz, thank you for joining us. We are speaking about Medicare for All. My name is Sita Biggie. I'm the host of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We have Terry Falbo here. We have Lynn Arup. Ellen Little, my co-host, is here. And we have our friend Jordan and Terry. The studio is quite colorful. I wish you were here to see it. So give us a little, tell us a little bit about yourself, a 30-second blurb about yourself before you join into the conversation.
Okay. My name is Liz Kane. I'm a proud member of National Nurses United. I have been a nurse for 17 years, both in administrative and on the floor. I'm a floor nurse now. I was administration at one time, but just sort through many things. I am with National Nurses United fighting for Medicare for All, because as a nurse, I have seen too many injustices.
So Liz, I'm also a nurse, and the question I just asked Terry and Lynn was, so many people don't ask, how do you pay for a war? But they ask, how are you going to pay for Medicare for All? Now, in the nursing home setting, in the hospital settings, we have things like wound vacs, and we have midlines and PICC lines, and we have
right.
The Clinitron beds and the specialty mattresses and all these ancillary
right.
services and all these companies that come in to give you special diabetic shoes and this and that. You know, how
right.
do we reduce all those costs to where people could have insurance and we could put people before profits?
Well, again, you know, as far as being a nurse and being on the front lines, my main concern is for my patients. The policymaking and whatnot, at least with policymakers, but as for the Medicare for All would encompass all of it. There's no reason why we would not be able to incorporate that within the system to better the chance for the patients to, you know, be able to make it. I, as a nurse, have seen patients not be able to go without, as you, I'm sure, not be able to afford things like their prescriptions, the wound vacs, home health care, physical therapy, because the insurance is so bad and so high, or they can't afford the insurance, so they go without.
Yeah, and you know what gets me all the time, too, is like the patients will get the therapy for 6 weeks, and then after the last day of the therapy, when they write that DC order, it's like they drop off the face of the earth. Nobody, that's
that
it for
is
the
correct.
That, I mean, who cares about the patient at that point? But I'm going to have Lynn jump in here. So, Lynn, tell us, all three of you support the HR 1384 and 1129. So, the improved Medicare for all bills. Can you give us a summary, or economist from the University of Florida, Lynn Unruh, give us a little, tell us a little bit about that, and how would we benefit from that? What are the current limitations under current Medicare?
Okay, well, the bills, first off, and most importantly, would provide essential health care benefits to all residents, and one of the bills even would provide it to some non-residents. That would include, you know, every kind of basic health care, plus things we do not get now with most of our employer plans, which are like dental. We have to get those on the side, dental, eye, mental health, good mental health care, because a lot of times that's not real great in our current plans. Reproductive health care and long-term care, which we currently don't have now. Another important thing is there would be no co-pays right now. Most, and co-pays have been going up over the years. The employers, either the employers have to pay more money or employees do, and it's tending to fall on employees. So we've all had to pay higher co-pays. Many of us have deductibles. All that would go away, except for, I think under the Senate plan, there's some for drugs. There would be no surprise billing. That's been a big issue lately. That's been in the news about people that go into ERs and they don't realize that the physician that saw them or some other aspect of their visit was not in their network, and then they received this huge bill afterwards. That would disappear. Mm-hmm. There would be no network restrictions in general. You can go to whatever doctor is got their shingle out there. You know, they're open for business. You can go to that doctor. You can keep the doctor you have. There's no getting rid of the doctor you have. And let's see, what else? There would be private health insurance, but it would only be for services not covered under the plan. Overall plan.
So right. There will still be a role for private insurance for that
for
extended.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
And Terry, you want to jump in on this?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I think it's important for people to know something that I think is not brought out enough, you know, on the national television, etc., is that doctors in Physicians for a National Health Program and nurses in National Nurses United have for decades been looking at all our problems within the healthcare system, with the problems of payments, with the problems of uninsured, underinsured, people not getting the treatments that they should get, doctors and nurses not having the clinical say over the patients that they should be able to have, and instead the insurance companies a lot of times getting more say than the actual practitioners do, and all the various issues that affect our healthcare system of maybe not being focused on prevention enough, etc. And they have come to the conclusion that what we need is a single payer system to deal with all of this and to lower the costs enough, both overall and for individuals and households enough. They are the ones that have come forth with these plans. Yes, politicians have, they've sat down with the politicians to actually write the actual bills. But it's not like the politicians just like got it out of thin air and decided these things themselves, like for a campaign promise or something
right.
That's being portrayed.
And let's be honest, everybody wants the same health care that the politicians have as well, which is damn good insurance. And I think one of the things that we're not addressing too is, you know, we're all born. We know two things are sure, paying taxes and Mr. Death, right? In between right. that, we teach people about obesity. We teach them about preventative care. We teach them about fresh air and sunlight. You are what you eat, sleep, and breathe. But yet still, the word preventative care, a lot of people are still pushing back when you say preventative care. A lot of things we do in life, we can reduce a lot of illnesses. And as nurses, we see, you know, we have to write a discharge plan when a resident is discharged. And on that, we put diet is tolerated, activity is tolerated, see your family doctor in 4 to 6 weeks. And I know, Liz, you could jump in here. How can we get more of our citizens educated so they can educate their families and their friends? It's not always about a pill or a procedure. It can be by lifestyle change or the way we think on our lifestyle as well. Do you agree with at least education and preventative care should be included in our conversation?
Absolutely, 100%, because that is part of preventative care, educating our patients and being able to sit down with them and give them the necessary tools so that they can make better life and choice decisions, because that's the bottom line. If we are able as a nation to have the preventative care necessary through Medicare for All and help our patients to make the proper steps, then we become a healthier nation.
Right. We have to start caring, not just our profession in nursing, but in the schools, what our children are eating, whole corporations responsible for what they're putting in the food, make sure that developers, when they develop land, they're paying attention to what's going into septic and sewer and on the environment, because we are what we eat from the river as well, you know. So, and Lynn, I'm going to ask you, what do you say to people who say we cannot afford to have healthcare as a human right? Because I believe it's a human right.
I don't know why we can't have it as a human right. I mean, it is a human right, and we already talked about how it is affordable. It's actually more affordable than our current system. So people that are saying that, I think they're just stonewalling.
You have to care about human beings. What is our role as humans?
Yes.
It's to ease pain and suffering for others on this earth.
Yes.
So why aren't we teaching that from childhood?
It's not only a human right. I think it's in the Constitution. If you're not healthy, you don't have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, do you?
But
right.
So therefore,
if that's our Constitution, we are not following it if we're not making sure that every living soul in this country has health care.
It goes back to what Ellen and I say on 4th of July. People eat hot dogs and hamburgers just because they want to eat and have a good time, but they don't really know what they're celebrating and why. They don't even know. And I know that's the truth. Because it's just like in where I was born and raised, there's a beautiful pledge, and I think I put it up quite a few times on Facebook, where it says, I will honor my country, my mother, my father, my elders. But recently, no one's doing that at all. Right. They're just so miserable.
But the other thing, I think we really need to keep in mind is that we simply cannot afford to go the way that we have been. With, like I said, $3.65 trillion last year is what we spent. So even a politician the other day said on national TV as a reason to oppose Medicare for All, he said, oh, it will cost $35 trillion over 10 years. Well, what he didn't realize was he's actually admitting it will be cheaper to go with Medicare for All.
Because they're using talking points from their friends.
Right,
that's
exactly.
It. So Liz, why a single-payer system? What do you say to people when they say, well, you're a nurse and you support a single-payer system, and then they ask you the questions, well, what do you do with Medicaid and what do you do with the Medicare? How do you bring both together and mesh it together? What do you say to them when they start questioning, what do we do with the system we have now?
Well, as far as from the nursing perspective, what I basically tell them is this. It can be done. We can, the way that they're bringing everything about with the Medicare for All, we can incorporate everything necessarily. There's no reason why we cannot. There's no reason... Please, by all means, anybody jump in if you want.
It will make things simpler, actually. Right now, our system is so complicated. And doctors right now, a lot of doctors have said they have to spend 2/3 and more of their time and money dealing with who's going to get covered for what under, you know, for
what plan? What
pay, how much do they
under,
bill?
With multitudes of payers and networks and plans, that's why the majority of doctors actually support improve Medicare for All, and they say that like a typical physician, a typical PCP, primary care physician, would save $75,000 a year with going to single payer. So it actually will simplify things by doing this rather than having such a complicated
system. Instead of having Medicaid, go ahead, Liz.
I know for myself, working at the bedside, I've heard doctors complain on more than one occasion how, oh, I can't give this test because the insurance company is not going to allow me to do it.
Right, and all fact, those need,
the patients
codes.
Need to have that test. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, and all those in codes when we do tests, all those diagnostic codes and all the unnecessary follow-ups and stuff, all that we'll have to pay attention at. So Lynn, I want to ask you a question.
Can I say something before you ask your question? It's very apropos. My specialty in my research is healthcare workforce. And one of the things that would be great about Medicare for All is that we take that money that we're currently paying into administrative costs and profits for various insurance companies, et cetera. We'd keep pharmaceutical costs down, we'd save money, provide healthcare for everybody, and hopefully increase the healthcare workforce, because right now, doctors and nurses are having to see way too many patients, and they're getting very burned out, and we need to keep them in the workforce, and we need to bring in more people. So I just wanted to add
that.
Right. So what was your question?
Well, my question is, what do you say to people like me who started saying, well, okay, why don't we go to the public option and hope that it would lead to universal health care or public or single payer?
Well, I don't quite. The public option is sort of like taking health care and putting it into a new system. And anytime you change the system, there's a lot of costs and time involved. Why don't we just put that into making a transition to improve? Right,
just go for improved Medicare for All.
And in the Senate bill, their transition is 4 years. So even that would take 4 years. It would happen over time. In the other bill, I think it's 2 years. Mm-hmm. And one of the first things that happen is, and I think this is a really cool way to do it, you take Medicare and you back down the age. So younger people will
like
be...
Like me, right, who's 55. That's my whole thing.
I'm basically working for Medicare.
I know so many people my age who are working just for health insurance. Because when my husband sold his practice, I said, oh, I'll be a good wife and I'll stay home and I'll, you know, do whatever. I've been working for over 30 years my life. But the insurance for myself was over $600 for medical, dental, and vision. So I went back to work as a nurse, right, where it's only $200 a month with my employer. Plus, I do love nursing. Don't get me wrong. But the thing is, there are so many people that, like you say, would love it if we could lower the age, like 55,
right,
or something,
right?
You know,
right. And I do want to keep mentioning it's improved Medicare for All, because our current Medicare has a lot of gaps, mm-hmm, and we want to close those gaps. There's the pharmaceutical gap. There's co-payments, all that. We want to get rid of those.
So I'm going to ask this question first of Liz, and then I think each person have like, how much time do we have, Paul? So each person has like a minute to answer. What do we say to people who are saying we should focus on winning the election in 2020 and not on improved Medicare for All?
What do I say? I say in order for us to have a future, we need to focus on Medicare for All. No, the elections are going to happen no matter what. We need to fight Medicare for All, and it's important that they go to the website and www.medicareforall.org and they find out a way to get involved in their community and fight for this.
Right, and Liz, we have to get more nurses involved as well, because behind the scenes there are a lot of physicians, there are a lot of healthcare workers, there are a lot of nurses that do support Medicare for All. But, you know, like a physician friend was saying to me, he said, you know, when you come out of school with a $200,000, $250,000 debt and you learn really fast, mm-hmm, you have to pay lights, water, mortgage, and your loan back, you kind of stay where you are and you just accept things the way it is. And in addition to that, you have to pay $50,000 a year for malpractice insurance. So I think the whole system has to change. Somewhere along the line, we have to look at that as well. Because it's not cheap paying malpractice insurance either, you know, when people want to sue for every little thing. And so, Terry, you tell me, what do you think people are saying that we should focus on winning the elections instead of Medicare for All?
Well, a couple things. One, I would say, is that it could be the winning thing if it was presented properly and not distorted. The message. Because the truth is that it would expand coverage for over 99% of people would get better coverage, because hardly anyone has, even people with excellent union and employer plans, hardly anyone has as much coverage as the Medicare for All bill has, including the long-term care, all the dental, mm-hmm, vision, mental health, etc. Number two, it would lower costs. for 95% of the people. Yes, you may call it a tax because it goes in, and it goes into the Medicare system, but it ends up, your amount that you will pay will end up being a whole lot less. In one plan, you deduct $29,000 from your income, and what's left over, you multiply that by 0.04, 4% of that. Hardly anyone pays that much, even people with excellent union and employer plans. Most of them pay a whole lot more than that.
Right. And what about you, Lynn? What do you say to people who are...
I think the elections and Medicare, improved Medicare for All, go hand in hand.
Right.
And
it's a winning combination.
I think the best... In my opinion, the best candidates are the ones that support single-payer Medicare for All. And I think that we need to get behind them, and we need to make sure that the issue of health care reform and Medicare for All is right out front. So they just go hand in hand.
Right. And you know, and the thing is, you know, we always find the money for what certain politicians want. And what gets me is so many of them are running for office on because they want to be reelected. And they're like parrots. They would say what their base is telling them to say or what other people are telling them to say. But the bottom line is people are living longer and people are getting sicker as they get older. And when do we make that decision that, yes, we have to cover everyone from birth to when they pass away from the earth? Because it's becoming, well, like the person that I was talking to today, they say they want choice and they want competition. Okay, so who is going to decide the competition and the choice? Is it always going to be the politicians? When do we put it in the hands of the people to say, we want Medicare for All, we want to see every single person covered? And here is the thing too, Lynn. What about the people that say, we don't want to give away anything for free? That word free, I'm so sick of hearing the word free. It's not free. People... We pay for it.
It's not free. Everybody pays something for health care.
And insurance company executives are getting free profits right now for not contributing anything to actual health care.
That seems, you know,
exactly.
And Liz,
they're getting, it's the CEOs of the insurance company that are getting something for free.
I once had a friend at the hospital, Ellen, and you know, I told you the story before, who was walking around with a clipboard going from patient room to patient room. I think he was a CEO of a certain hospital, and just checking things out. And I said, you know, you have a four-year degree from UCF or someplace, and you're making, what, over $150,000 a year when the doctors make less than that, and the nurses and the nurses' aides. You have the nurses' aides who are responsible for bathing, dressing, grooming, washing, making less than $12 an hour, and yet you have these big CEOs walking around with a clipboard making six figures. Something is wrong with that.
Yep.
You know, and then they expect the nursing assistant to buy the insurance from the hospital payroll system, which is, what, $600 a month for a family of four? How the heck are you going to afford that, as well as put food on the table, pay for gas, pay for health insurance, put your kids through school? I mean, somehow, somewhere, we all have to stop, take a deep breath, and start caring about each other. Otherwise, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, and through caring, it's educating yourself. So all of this healthcare talk has gotten so muddied with information, and you know the facts that we're bringing today are actual facts of things that are going on, and that people really just need to find their stream of education, of where they're going to get educated, so that they can make really
informed
financial decisions for themselves, for their family.
Put the mothers in charge, because they usually are the economists in the house.
But you know something? One of the things that you always do, Sita, and you always mention it on the show, is that when you see people that are working, your first question is do they have health coverage? Are they able to feed their families? Are they, you know, how are they surviving?
Well, because I feel sorry for the people who work on roofs, lawn care maintenance, hairdressers, and it gets my goat when a person is cutting my hair and they say, well, I'm a Republican, I don't believe in free stuff. Well, hello, you're in Medicaid, so what do you think you're getting that from?
Right.
Taxpayers.
Exactly.
Or, you know, the guy's cutting the grass and he's listening to Rush Limbaugh and he says, well, I don't believe in free stuff, and he's cutting my lawn. And I say, well, I'll tell you what, do you have health insurance? He goes, no, I have Medicaid. I said, where does your children go to school? Public school. Well, guess what? You just living off the system too, so hush.
Right, exactly.
What the heck? I mean, I don't understand people who say that we want to promote free stuff, but we, meaning Democrats or moderate Democrats like myself, who are fiscally responsible and socially liberal, that's me. Okay, if your kids go to public school, If you're on Medicaid,
driving on the roads.
If your parents found a way to scam the system and put everything in their kid's name and they're on Medicaid, which I've heard a lot of people do that, guess what? You're cheating the system too. Walmart.
Right.
Look how much Walmart gets. Their employees get Medicaid, and some of them
Walmart's
do.
Walmart's getting a lot of freebies by not covering their employees well enough. Then the government has to pick up on
so
that.
So where are all the people with the voices that do see all this free stuff being given to those folks, and they're not talking, they're not messaging it properly? How do we get more people to say, "Hey, wait a minute, you're sending your kids to public school, you're getting Medicaid"?
By having grandparents
on
programs
Medicaid.
Like this.
Right. Yeah. So
well, and the education part of it is all of our responsibility to make sure that
we need to bring
educated.
Them back, Ellen. We
Absolutely.
Have to keep their phone numbers and web, because I'd like to bring them back maybe in March. Because I mean that's what women
right before the primaries?
What, yes.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what our role as women are. As keepers of this universe, we need to start speaking up and saying, hey, stop the nonsense. You're getting free stuff, too.
That's exactly right. Well, we're going to have to listen to our sponsors really quickly because they have been so generous in making sure that our show goes on every week. And thank you to Liz and to Lynn and to Terry for having such a robust discussion.
I love their names. It's easy to say.
And we will
Liz,
and
Terry,
we'll be right
and
back. Yeah, we're going to be right back right after we hear from our sponsors right here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Portions of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Portions of Sita and Friends is brought to you by Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture Store inside the Merritt Square Mall at the Sears Wing. Save big on furniture working with a flexible family-owned store with all the brands you love, from Ashley, Serta, Coaster, and so and more. Brand new, warranties as well, and delivery and haulaway available at a fraction of the cost of most stores and delivered in 7 to 10 days. Free, no credit checking and financing, and free interior design. The owner, Scott Palmer, has been in the mattress and furniture business for over 30 years, and Cloud 9 has been serving Central Florida for 7 years now. Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture Store, available at 321-459-2473. Again, call them 321-459-2473 or visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 8 locations serving Brevard County. So if you have an emergency, need a physical, or when your doctor is unavailable, with 8 locations, MedFast offers top quality care that is close by, and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. MEDFAST Urgent Care opens 7 days a week with the convenience of 8 locations serving Brevard County. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MEDFAST. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral, and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000, 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With 3 locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
To Viewpoint with Sita and Friends here on AM 1510 WWBC. And, of course, all of our FM stations, 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7. Welcome, everyone. We had a very robust discussion. This is Ellen Little, by the way. You can probably tell the difference between Sita and my voice.
The Trinidadian.
I know, a little bit. I definitely don't sound island.
Right.
For sure. But it was such a great discussion about all of the information that we need to know from healthcare, from a healthcare support.
Well, and it's good to have discussions that are truthful.
Exactly.
Enough of this covering up the stuff, you know?
Right.
Nurses.
And it's so muddy right now.
The nurses know the real thing.
Exactly right.
Right.
Exactly right. But now we have with us our friends, our longtime friends, Honey Smith Walls here, and she is with Cannabivarum.
That's right.
Cannabivarum.
Right.
The truth about cannabis.
Right. And CBD, which a lot of people don't know, but it's a cannabis. How do you say that word?
Cannabidiol.
Look how he says it's so wonderful. It's
and
actually
he's got that great FM radio voice too.
Yes,
that's
yes.
Jordan Kelly that you're listening to
and
right now.
So Jordan Kelly, tell us, you're here and you guys just opened a new store. Tell
Another
us
one.
Why
Another
is
one,
the, right? the CBD becoming so popular?
Well, CBD is so popular. I mean, it's something that's kind of just helping everybody. So it kind of speaks for itself. Naturally in our body, we create cannabinoids. So by putting CBD, which is the cannabis oil, back into our system, it kind of refires receptors that help fight off a lot of different ailments, pain, sleep, appetite, anxiety, stress. It's kind of all over the board, a balance for your body because...
And inflammation. It also fights inflammation.
Inflammation
so instead of people taking... two Tylenol or two Motrins and call me in the morning, they can just take their CBD.
Killing your kidneys and liver and all of that, mm-hmm. where CBD oil doesn't do any of those things.
So one of the questions I had on my messenger this morning to when someone saw we were talking about CBD was, will you get high from using CBD?
No. Yeah, there's no psychoactive effect in the CBD oil. So some companies make what you call a broad spectrum where they'll put a couple different cannabinoids. Some people make an isolated spectrum where it's just CBD. We use something called a broad spectrum in our products, which has a little bit of all the cannabinoids, but it's overall a balance for your system. So you have kind of everything you need in there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what about the folks that say, does CBD interfere with other drugs?
No, there's no side effects. I mean, as far as we know, you can take up to 30 milligrams of CBD daily without affecting any medication that you'd be on, just because we create it naturally.
So what was he saying about the mic?
No, we're fine.
No, we're fine? Okay. So, yeah. So I just want you to repeat again why CBD is so popular, the part where you said about the body making the CBD, because I don't think a lot of people understand that.
So, yeah. So in your system, we have in your body, you have a system called an endocannabinoid system. It's a series of receptors that control a lot of different functions and ailments in your body. These receptors can be refired or help you more when you take the CBD because you're adding cannabinoids back into your system. And like I was saying, it's kind of a balance for your body. So naturally create it and then you put it back in your system. It helps balance off pain.
Right. And a lot of people always ask if the CBD has a THC in it.
There's a trace amount in a lot of products, as I was saying, but it's not enough to have a psychoactive effect.
Right, and it works different on everyone, right?
I
mean, some people probably they can use the oil, some can use the lotion, and there's so many other things. What are some of the products that in your store?
So we kind of have, the thing that makes us a little bit different than a lot of other companies is that we make a water-soluble form of a CBD solution. Most companies do a tincture, which goes under the tongue, or capsules, which are preloaded oil capsules. But the problem with those are the bioavailability, basically how it absorbs into your system. So when you take a tincture, say it's a 1,000 strength, 1,000 milligrams of CBD, in that whole bottle, you only absorb about 10% usually about of what you're taking. So in that 1,000 strength, you'd get about 100 milligrams that your body actually absorbs. So what makes our product different is that we make a water base that can be 100% absorbed. So if you take 1,000 strength, you're getting all 1,000 milligrams. So we start off at a 300 strength, which is equivalent to a 3,000 milligram strength, and it's only $60 for the 30 days, which is about half price in any other store out there.
And so, Jordan, tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends where the American Shaman of Brevard facility, the stores are.
So we just opened a new location on Wickham in Lake Washington next to Beef O'Brady's and the Joint Chiropractor. And
such a great gig.
Yeah, such a great gig. Ironic, right? But yeah, we opened that about a month ago. And then, of course, we have our store in Satellite Beach in the Publix Plaza on A1A. That one we opened about a little over a year ago.
Yeah. So I know after the last time you were on the show, we had some questions and stuff about the people passing drug tests.
Right.
You know, so because it is such a holistic approach
right.
to making sure that you are healthy and that if you're experiencing something, it's just so much more holistic if using CBD and using your products. But what about the concern for people that might be, you know, have to take drug tests to work or, you know, certainly random drug testing for drivers or something like that?
Okay, so to explain the drug testing part, we have a slight amount of the THC in some of our products. We can order it THC free if anybody ever needed it.
But what you sell is a full spectrum.
But a full spectrum. It's not the THC in the whole bottle is not enough to make you even fail a drug test. We cannot guarantee.
Good. That's good to hear because right. that is a concern. So, right. honey, you're here. Honey Wells.
Yes, I
Smith
am.
Walls is here. And look at her show. She's dressed up again.
She's awesome.
A
and
doll.
She really, and she loves Jordan. She likes to talk about the products
she looks
of
like
the
a
stores.
Movie star.
She's his friend and our friend. So, now, of lately, the news, we're seeing a lot of stuff about vaping.
Yes.
So, it's a transitional way, a little bit from the oil. Now, we're talking about inhaling. Tell us, what's the latest news on vaping?
Well, the CDC just told us that 47 dead, 2,290 cases, and they found vitamin E acetate in the lungs of 29 people. So what I want to tell you is a public service announcement, again, as I said the last time, mm-hmm. from the American Medical Marijuana Physicians Association convention that I was just at a month or so ago. And the cannabis specialist there said, simply don't vape cartridges until they figure out what these problems really are. And as Jordan said, you know, it's both in the vitamin E, possibly other carrier oils that they use in vape cartridges, and in heavy metals that are flaking off into the substances of the cartridges because it's just basically crappy metal. And so, instead, American Shaman provides you with an alternative. These doctors, these cannabis specialists said, if you want to vape, then vape the leaf. And you can do that both as...
And it's safe.
It's safe. Yes.
Much safer.
Well, carrier oil.
Well,
and so, yeah. And so you're just vaping the natural product itself. And they make vape pens that vape the leaf. And they're the same price as the other ones.
Well, there's a reason why in a lot of medication it says not for inhalation.
Mm-hmm. Well,
because it's dangerous.
This is the reason.
Vitamin E is dangerous if it goes
lungs,
into you. I mean, you just have to open a capsule and look at it. You'll see what the oils look like, right? So how do you choose between, honey, how do you choose between buying counter hemp and becoming a medical marijuana patient?
Well, that's a personal choice because we don't have physicians to tell us, oh, honey, you need to go try some weed, some pot. They don't tell us that in Western medicine yet. But what they are saying is, I'm sorry, what was the question? I just
yeah.
totally
how
had a train
do you choose? How do you choose between over the counter?
It's a personal choice.
Everything in life comes down to a choice, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And so if you are having, you know, old lady aches and pains or old man aches and pains, and they've not been quelled by any of the pharmaceuticals you've been taking for 20 years, I heartily recommend that you...
Or if you have an anxiety... That's restlessness, nervousness.
Cannabis
works on that too.
So many,
as well as our physical aspects. And so, I heartily recommend that you go to one of Jordan's stores and try some of their over-the-counter CBD. If you like to smoke, then smoke his pre-rolls. They're great. And if you want,
she looks so calm.
Jordan is the calmest.
Well, I was going to just say to Jordan, how do you determine a good product?
Right now there's 1,000 CBD companies plus out there. I think one of the main things that you want to look at when you're checking out a different store or a new product is that you want to make sure that, first of all, that they do have lab reports. You want to make sure that things are batch tested. Some companies will have a lab report and it may be 6 months to a year old. So what is to say, you know, what they've been putting in their product the whole time, nobody's checking it. So it can be less CBD, it can be more CBD, it can be more THC, less THC.
More contamination, heavy metals, pesticides,
all that good stuff too.
And what do you say to people, Jordan, that says, what if I get too high? Because that's what people, I mean, some of them still don't understand the difference, and they say, no,
you shouldn't be getting high from your CBD.
Right.
However, if CBD is not enough for your aches and pains and you've decided to try medical marijuana and go through all of that process, it can really kick that, amp that up for you a lot. The soothing of pain, the soothing of headaches, the soothing of irritable bowel syndrome, all of that, quelling tumors. There has been a lot of success with various cancers. So if you need to find a medical marijuana physician, there are a couple of really wonderful physicians in town. One who was the first medical marijuana physician, Dr. Anthony Mazzo, and he is a neurologist, has the Brevard Neuro Center in Melbourne. And the other one is Liberate Physician Centers. And you'll get excellent specialty care in cannabis with both of those physicians. Not all cannabis physicians are specialty.
Yeah, but Dr. Mazzo is. Yeah,
And you have to think about the side effects. You know, that's the education that I've been getting. There's so many side effects with opioids and with pain relievers and the things that they give us for, you know, aches and pains that we might be experiencing. I sent a friend in to you not that long ago who fell and hurt her knee, and that's the very first thing the doctor wanted to do was give her this, like, long-term medication of how to get through her knee. And she came into you, got some education about what it was, and she's not 100% yet, but she's certainly much better off because she doesn't have the side effects from all of the other meds.
Yes.
And the CBD is what helps.
And why do these medications all have to have all these side effects?
Well, and here's the thing. You know?
And when CBD doesn't have side effects.
No. You might get a little sleepy if you take too much.
Which is a good thing. But, you know, like, people wouldn't think twice about putting a lidoderm patch on their knee or using fentanyl patch. They don't ask any questions. What's in it? What's the side effect?
What the doctor says is gospel.
Yeah, because it's the, whatever the doctor wrote is the script. Mm-hmm. Or they don't think twice when the doctor give them a prescription for protonics or give them a prescription for something for their bladder or whatnot. But yet still, they want to ask all the questions about the CBD. And the people are telling them, what are some of the questions you get, Jordan, when people come into the store? And then you have to calm their nerves and their fears about the product.
Well, cannabis is still kind of a taboo for a lot of people, you know, just because the other side, THC, marijuana, is illegal. So they think that when they come in the store that it's part of that. And it's just one big thing is educating, you know, educating the people, letting them know that it's not something that's harmful to them. It's something that'll only help. I haven't had anybody come back and say, oh, this hurt me. you know, and I've had over 2,000 customers, so yeah, had a pretty good...
But I have seen people that have run out of the opioids and then turned to...
Withdrawals?
Hardcore drugs or withdrawals, or something where they're actually becoming not...
Buying them off the street?
Right,
it's
exactly.
Terrible.
And that's just as illegal, if not more illegal.
Way more illegal.
Well, you know what? We live in such a hypocritical society, right? Because, and for those who are listening...
Let's eat healthy,
Viewpoint. This is Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and we're talking with Jordan Kelly and Honey Smith Walls, and my friend Ellen Little is here. Well, people are hypocritical because they will ask you questions knowing very well that it's a stupid question, right? Yeah. For example, my daughter was saying
no
to me.
There's no stupid question.
My daughter was saying to me, she goes, Mom, you know, you all, in the old days, the Indian people always talked about lawyer, doctor, engineer for their kids. But she goes, guess what? All them Indians who own gas stations are now selling CBD.
So she's they got like, right back in the business.
Yeah. So she goes, you know what? They're going right back in. Yeah, so she goes, you know, Mom, if I were you, when you're having that show today, you know, when you talk about something, you have to understand that everyone is getting into it because now people are seeing it as a business, a viable business. But it does help. It's not like it have a whole list of side effects like regular drugs does, right? So how do you, when you have a patient who comes in or a client and says, hey, I was taking oxycodone or I was taking, Vicodin, or I was taking fentanyl, and now all I'm using is CBD and I feel better. Do you consider those a success story that you could share with us?
Oh, Sita, one of my biggest success stories is, this gentleman, I'll leave his name out, but he came to the store one day, and you can see when somebody's like jaundiced, his liver was probably pretty much done. He was on withdrawals. He'd been doing heroin for, I think he said 15 years, okay? And he met this new beautiful woman that, you know, was going to change his life. So he comes in and starts off with the 300 strength, the lower strength that we carry, CBD. And after 2-3 days, he's done with the whole month supply. And I'm like, uh-oh. I'm like, how much are you taking daily? He's like, man, this is changing my life.
Yeah, because it's making him calm, less anxious, easing the pain.
His color came back in his skin. He stands up taller. He looks like he's gained a little bit of weight. He looked like he was on his way out. And now when you see him, I mean, it almost brings me to tears to see somebody take something and take my word, you know?
One of my friends just texted me who's a nurse, and he says, you can't pass a drug test if you take it by mouth. So maybe you can't. So maybe you have to, maybe it's the milligram or something.
You can pass a drug test if you are taking it by mouth. It depends on the type. So there's the litmus paper test that they just put the piece of paper in. That is the one that the cops use when they are testing something on the side of the road. And that will turn a color. Now, if they're testing the levels in your system, which employers will do, or, you know, military, whatever, then they can actually see how much THC is in your system.
So the education.
It's educating.
And make sure
we need
that
to bring
you
them back
to
on the show, too. This is amazing.
Right, exactly. And we do offer THC-free products.
So we've got 1 minute left. 30 seconds quickly to the website.
Website and how they get a hold of you.
Okay, so we're at cbdofjax.com. Okay, and now we also partner with a hemp flower company called Buds Burn, B-U-D-Z, burn.com. Text Natalie to 32.
Yeah, go ahead. That's for the 20%.
For the 20% discount. Yeah. For the 20% off. You can either call the store, just mention Sita's name, okay?
Right. You know what? The great thing about our show is we're always doing education, and it's wonderful to have people in our community that care and want to bring good information to our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Always. And
thank
as always,
so much.
We'll be back on live next Monday at 1 o'clock. Make sure you tune in to SitaMediaInc.com for all of our past shows and especially for the show from today. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll see you next week, and happy Thanksgiving.